Once again, this morning, I printed the bulletins out without changing the title of the sermon. And so the title that's in there is still last week's title. The title of this week's sermon is Numbering the Redeemed. But the scripture reading is the same, is correct. And so let us turn now to Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. And I'll be reading the verses 11 through 16. Exodus chapter 30, the verses 11 through 16. And together as a congregation, we are working our way through the book of Exodus. And we find ourselves this morning in Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 through 16. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "When you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted. Then no plague will come on them when you number them. Each one who crosses over to those already counted is to give a half shekel according to the sanctuary shekel, which weighs 20 gerahs. This half shekel is an offering to the Lord. All who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than half a shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord to atone for your lives. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for service in the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives." Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from Exodus chapter 30. As we near the end of the millennium and the end of this decade of the 90s, once again it is time for our nation to take a national census. The census that is taken each and every decade is very useful to determine as to how much our country has grown and to determine where people are moving, what states they are now living in, as they move around the country. This census helps us as a country restructure the voting districts according to population and also gives us an understanding of how our country is changing and growing. And as we look this morning at Exodus chapter 30, we can see that it was also necessary for the people of Israel to take a census so that their people could be numbered. But this census is not simply, as the census I just described, to get a number of the people, to better understand how the tribe should be structured, to determine which tribe should be growing, which tribe is growing more than the other tribes. This census also has a spiritual meaning. It is not just about numbers, but there is a spiritual meaning to this census. And we find that in verse 12. "When you take a census of the Israelites to count them, each one must pay the Lord a ransom for his life at the time he is counted." God has delivered this people from Egypt. God has brought them to the edge of Mount Sinai, where he has delivered them from the hands of Pharaoh. And now God has told them to take a census so that he can determine the number of those who have been redeemed. Each person who has been redeemed by the Lord from Egypt will have a number. He will be taken down as one of those whom God has delivered. And as each one is counted, a ransom is taken for his life. Why? He must pay a ransom for his life. Why? We see that at the end of verse 12. "Then no plague will come on them when you number them." Without payment of this shekel, without payment of the ransom, the people are threatened with a plague and certain death. God has them take this census. God has them participate in this census for a particular reason. He brings them to offer this shekel to the Lord and to his tabernacle as a ransom for their
lives. Now, what does this mean? Is payment for salvation going on here? Is this like the Roman Catholic system before the Reformation times, when indulgences were bought for salvation in heaven? No. That's not what's going on here in Exodus chapter 30. But this shekel that is given to the tabernacle is connected to the ransom that has been bought at the Passover. God's people lived in the land of Egypt. Pharaoh was the ruler over their lives. Pharaoh ruled the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh was known as the ruler of the world. Pharaoh wanted to be remembered on this earth as one of the great pharaohs who had ever lived. He wanted his country to be known as a world power so that his name would be remembered forever and ever. And he enslaved these people, these Israelites, to do his building projects in Egypt, to build the cities that he would be remembered by. And God sent Moses to deliver them. God sent Moses and told Pharaoh to let his people go or face the judgment of the Lord. And when Pharaoh refused, 10 plagues came upon his people. Now remember verse 12 of Exodus chapter 30. They must pay the Lord a ransom for their life at the time they are counted, then no plague will come upon them when you number them. God delivered his people from Egypt. God sent the 10th plague, the angel of death, to go through the land of Egypt and destroy the firstborn of all of those who lived in Egypt. And God spared his people through the blood of a Passover lamb. A ransom was paid for their deliverance. A ransom was paid for their salvation from the angel of death. A ransom was paid for them to be numbered among those whom God has redeemed. And through this 10th plague, the Egyptians allowed the Israelites to leave their land. God purchased their redemption through the blood of this Passover lamb. And now they have been counted among those God has redeemed. And so, as one of those numbered, delivered from Egypt, delivered from slavery, delivered from death, they come unto the Lord, unto his tabernacle, bringing a shekel as a ransom for their life. Now again, is this payment for their salvation? Well, look again at verse 16. Receive the atonement money from the Israelites and use it for the service of the tent of meeting. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. God's people were delivered from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb had to die. Its blood had to be spread on the doorposts so the angel of death, the plague, would not come into the Israelite home. And now the threat of death, this plague, continues to be over the Israelites. And so they continue with the atonement. The shekel that they give to the tabernacle goes to the service of the tabernacle, goes to the priests who will continue in the atonement for the people. Notice again verse 16, the last part. It will be a memorial for the Israelites before the Lord, making atonement for your lives. This blood, this sacrifice must continue. They were redeemed by the Passover lamb, and they will continue to be atoned for their sins by the sacraments, by the sacrifices made at the tent of meeting at the tabernacle. Now notice, this is not a tithe. Look at verse 14. All those who cross over, those 20 years old or more, are to give an offering to the Lord. The rich are not to give more than half a shekel, and the poor are not to give less when you make the offering to the Lord. to atone for your lives. This is not something that costs more for rich people and less for poor people. This is something that is paid as part of being counted as one of the Lord's redeemed. It is given to the continual ransom that must be paid, the atonement. And salvation does not cost more for a rich person or a poor person. Salvation does not cost more for a slave person or a free person. Salvation costs the same for all. When Israel came out of Egypt, it cost a Passover lamb. As Israel goes and continues their lives as part of God's covenant community, they continue to bring their offering, and the sacrifice goes before the Lord. The money that is given connects the people to the Passover lamb and the continuing atonement that must be made for God's people as they are sinners and as God is holy. But this is not the only census that we read about in Scripture. In the book of 2 Samuel, God tells us about another census. 2 Samuel 24. The first census that we have read about in Exodus 30 is a good census. God has commanded the Israelites to be counted and numbered among those whom God has saved and redeemed. But in 2 Samuel chapter 24, David, king of Israel, takes a census. Let's read what happens in verse 2. So the king said to Joab and the army commanders with him, "Go throughout the tribes of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, and enroll the fighting men, so that I may know how many they are." At this point in Israel's history, David has just completed driving out the enemies of Israel from the land of Canaan. David has driven them out. They have now gained more territory than ever before. And David desires to take this census so that he can know how many fighting men he has. What David has done is like Pharaoh. Pharaoh wanted to be known for his power, for his earthly riches. He wanted to be remembered for all the things he had accomplished on this earth. David has conquered this land. David wants count of these fighting men, not to count how many he has redeemed. He wants to count how much earthly power he has. And so Joab, his army commander in verse 3, replies to the king, "May the Lord your God multiply the troops 100 times over, and may the eyes of my lord the king see it. But why does my lord the king want to do such a thing?" But the king's word overrules the word of Joab, and the census is taken of all the fighting men. And in verse 10 of 2 Samuel 24, we read that David is conscience stricken. David was conscience stricken after he had counted the fighting men, and he said to the Lord, "I have sinned greatly in what I have done. Now, O Lord, I beg you, take away the guilt of your servant. I have done a very foolish thing." And God gives David three choices. In verse 13, we read that the prophet Gad went to David and said to him, "Shall there come upon you 3 years of famine in your land? Or 3 months of fleeing from the enemies while they pursue you? Or 3 days of plague in your land? Now then, think it over and decide how I should answer the one who sent me." God gives David three choices, and David decides on 3 days of plague. The Egyptians suffered the effects of the plagues. Israel was to be counted among those who have been redeemed, and to participate in the sacrifices and the offerings by giving their shekel to save them from the plague. And now that David has sinned, a plague has come upon Israel. And we read in verse 17 that David sees the angel who was striking down the people, And he said to the Lord, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. These are but sheep. What have they done? Let your hand fall upon me and my family. David sees his people dying. And as king of Israel, who has counted all of his fighting men, who has conquered all of his enemies, he can do nothing to stop the plague of the Lord. And so in verse 16 we read of the angel. The angel has stretched out his hand to destroy Jerusalem. And the Lord was grieved because of the calamity. And he said to the angel who was afflicting the people, enough, withdraw your hand. And the angel of the Lord was then at the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite. And David, who knows this, in verse 21 we read, he buys this threshing floor. Why has the Lord my king come to this servant? To buy your threshing floor, says David, so I can build an altar to the Lord, that the plague on the people may be stopped. This threshing floor that David buys in 2 Samuel 24 becomes the site of the temple of Solomon. This altar that David builds, that sacrifices are given, is the same place where sacrifices will be made through the temple that Solomon builds for the people of the Lord. Once again, to stop the plague, sacrifices are made for God's people. You can see this morning that there are two censuses that are taken. The first census is a good census. It is one that God has commanded his people to do. It is a time in which God's people can be numbered among those whom God has redeemed. The second census is a bad census. David wants to count his fighting men. He wants to know all of the power that he has achieved while here on this earth. He wants to be remembered and not have the Lord remembered. And because of his senses, he suffers the effect of this plague. But what about us? What about in the New Testament? The people of the Old Testament had the privilege of being numbered among those who have been redeemed. They were counted as one of God's people whom he has saved from the land of slavery. But what about us? What about the New Testament church? Is there still a number? Is there still a census? Turn to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, the last book in the Bible. In Revelation, chapter 13, verse 8, we read this. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast. All whose names have not been written in the book of life, belonging to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. John looks into heaven when he writes these words of Revelation, and he knows that in heaven there is a book of life. Later on in the book of Exodus, when the people worship the golden calf, Moses falls before the Lord and asks that his name be taken out of the book of the life so the people's names could continue to be included. Not only is there a census in the Old Testament, but there is an eternal census that God has for his people. A book of life in which all the names of his people who have been redeemed from their sins have been written. How are they written in this book? According to the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. In the Old Testament, the census that was taken in the book of Exodus chapter 30 was a temporary census. Yes, they were counted as among those who have been redeemed by the Lord. Yes, God had delivered them and they were counted, but they always had to bring their shekel. The Passover lamb was not complete atonement for their sins. They continued to be sinners, and sacrifices continually had to be made for their sins. And because of that, even though they were numbered among God's people, they still had to bring a shekel. But New Testament believers don't have to bring a shekel. For the Lamb was slain on the cross. God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross to atone for all of the sins for His people. And as He died on that cross, as His blood was spilled, He paid the price, the judgment of God, so His people would not. David stood before Jerusalem after counting all of his fighting men, and he saw the angel of death inflict the plague upon his people, and he wept before the Lord because he could do nothing to stop it. But Jesus came, and as the one who was greater than David, he went to that cross and he died for their sins. The plague and the wrath of God was poured out upon him so that his blood could be shed and the blood of his people would live, so that their names could be counted among those whom God has redeemed, so that their names could be written in the book of life. Yes, there is a book of life. And for your name to be included in that book of life, it's not that you have to bring half a shekel so that sacrifices and animals can be sacrificed for your sins. For your name to be written in that book, you have to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. You have to have faith that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, that without the blood of Jesus who has covered the sins of your life, you are not worthy to be found in that book. But notice, not everyone's name is in that book. In the first half of verse 8 of Revelation 13, we read that all the inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the book of life belonging to the Lamb that was slain. The names of those who belong to the Lamb are written in the book of life. But there are those inhabitants of the earth who do not know the Lamb, whose name is not written there. They are people like David. They are people like Pharaoh. Their desire is not to know Christ and His death and resurrection and to be counted among one of those God has redeemed. Their desire is to have their names written down in the history of this earth. They want to be remembered for what they have accomplished and for what they have done. They want to be remembered for all the good things they've done to help people, for the things that they have accomplished on the earth and celebrated for their lives. But there is no desire to have their name written in the eternal book of life, the book of the Lamb that was slain from the creation of the world. Clearly, the book of Revelation teaches us that there are two books, the book of life and the book of this world. And as you leave here this morning, it's clear how your name can be written in one or the other. What you need to think about this morning is, where is your name written? Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this census that was taken in Israel, and for, Lord, how we can see how it is a foretaste of the great census that you have for all of your people. for you do have a book of life. And for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, we find our name there. And we pray, O God, that you would continue to work in the hearts of those who do not know him as their Lord and as their Savior, so that they may come to embrace him and know what he has done, the ransom that he has paid, so that through him they may find their names there. And, O God, we who know Jesus as our Savior rejoice that because of him and what he has done, we can find our name there throughout all eternity. May you continue to bless us in our lives. May you continue to strengthen us in our faith. May we grow to love our Savior, the Lamb who paid the ransom, the Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the world. May he be the center of our lives forevermore. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.